his phone.
Okay.
The following I'll call him on his cell phone.
Okay.
Oh. Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron of Florida Estates Winery. Wine enthusiasts can call us at any time during the broadcast by dialing 646-727-3235. Once again, the number is 646-727-3235. Wine industry representatives are also encouraged to join us on air.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Mike Brown, the Wine Growers Association of Georgia.
And the executive director.
Michelle Meyer, I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Westport Rivers Vineyard and Winery.
We're located at 417 Vicksburg Road, Westport, Mass., and our phone number is 508.
I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Grape Growers Association.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people on, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here
he
is.
Thank you, bus people.
Oh, okay. I heard you talking.
You did a good job on that opening, Mike. You really did.
Well, throwing those people in there and all that,
that's a nice opening. So.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. That's,
yeah, it is. I like that.
It took about 3 years to make that one.
Yes, and, it did, after we got all the people. Yeah, okay. There you go. Rip shot.
Yeah. Tonight's show is Nebraska, and
the lovely state of Nebraska.
Yes, and there's actually wine being produced up in Nebraska, and we do have a change for if you've noticed on our description for tonight's show, there were two wineries listed on there, but the first one had an event for tonight, so that's fine, and we understand that things come up, and so we will catch up with them at another time, and we will have Soaring Wings Vineyard on tonight, later on in the program, and about a quarter after the hour, and after Ron does his intro and gets out, we'll have a special guest on from Nebraska, the state,
hey,
and a wine producer up there in vineyard. So that'll be good. So we'll talk to him later. And,
it's nice. Always nice to get those guests in here. I love it when people are able to talk to us about it. We're getting different people from different states coming into the winery now, too. And it's fun to people start talking about their state, and we've already covered it on the program. And I'm able to tell them stuff about the wine industry in their state they didn't know, which is sort of cool. You know? did you know that in your state? No, I didn't. You know, yeah. You need to listen to my program.
That's right.
We're there. Huh? Yep. So we're still working on getting that bus so we can travel around the country.
Yeah.
But with gas prices at $4 a gallon, I don't know about that.
It's cheaper to stay here.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Notice you didn't fly up, took the All About Wine jet and fly up to Nebraska today either. Yeah.
No. An interesting thing happened. Actually, it didn't. But anyway, that was... back to the show. I thought I had something, but I just drew a blank.
That was it. Nebraska is our state tonight, the home of the Cornhuskers. Nebraska Cornhuskers, state of Nebraska. State of Nebraska is located in the middle of the country. Actually, just a little to the left of the middle of the country, basically it is in the middle of the country. If you want. The center of the country now, I think the actual center of the country is somewhere in Kansas, but the population center, I think, has moved west. I've heard something recently. So, but Nebraska, the state of Nebraska, is located in east of Wyoming and Colorado, north of Kansas, west of Missouri and Iowa, and south of South Dakota. It is bordered on the west by just mountains, beginning of some mountains and the higher elevation a little bit. On the east, the Missouri River borders most of it, separating it from Iowa, Nebraska from Iowa. It is a the state of Nebraska has higher elevations to the western side of the state, lower elevations to the east. Counties, they have 93 counties in the state of Nebraska. A very large one, Cherry County, up in the northern west part of it, right on the border of South Dakota, a big county up there. Most of the counties are smaller, square-shaped things. And the major highway, one interstate runs through Nebraska, comes out of Iowa into Omaha, cuts a little bit south to Lincoln, which is the state capital of Nebraska, and runs east through Kearney, North Platte, and on into Wyoming. The only interstate that runs to Nebraska of any significance. There's no north-south interstates in Nebraska. The elevation of Nebraska, the low point on the Missouri River, which is basically in the southeast corner of the state. There's the Missouri River at the lowest point is 840 feet above sea level. Again, I think that's right down at the corner of Missouri and Nebraska. The high point of the state, 5,424 feet. That is Panorama Point. It is on the western end of the state, on over toward Wyoming, back where it starts, the elevation starts climbing in that direction. Rivers in Nebraska. There are the Missouri River, which runs down, again, the border on the eastern part of the state. The next largest river is the North Platte River. Comes out of Wyoming and runs all the way through basically the southern part of the state and in, connects into the Missouri River just about where cities of Omaha and little towns around there, Vista, Bellevue, and all that, that part of the state. Actually, that part of the state, Omaha, Lincoln, all that, is where most of the wineries are located in Nebraska. The majority of them in that area, a little bit lower elevation on and up in the hills so much, but more in the eastern part of the state. There is all the rivers in Nebraska run across the state and connect into the Missouri River at one point or another by dumping into another river and all that. So your flow is going east because of the elevation and going to the lower point, obviously. Nebraska itself is established in 1867. The wine industry in Nebraska took off in the 1870s, was very big in, from 1870s to the 1910s. A big viticulture background, big viticulture history in Nebraska. Again, most of them on the eastern side of the state. The Otis Winery, now in operation, was founded in 1994. There's a lot of trails. Nebraska has, I think, three or four wine trails with a cluster of wineries that are located in the state. They have the long, hot summers, cold, the frigid winters, and major seasonal variations. We've talked to other states, Iowa. We've talked to Kansas. We've talked to Missouri. We're getting the same thing in Nebraska, the cold, harsh winters and the hot, humid summers. The French hybrid, our French grapes, the European grape varietals don't grow well because of the humidity and the precipitation. But Nebraska has planted some French-American hybrids and some American varietals that do grow. Among them, the Catawba, Chambortian, Chancellor, Chardonnay, Concord, Chenac, Edelweiss, Frontenac, Meursault Foch, St. Pippin, Vignol. That's just a few of them. I'm sure our guests will probably fill us in even more on the Nebraska wines. winery in 2006 called Whiskey Run Creek Vineyard. Whiskey Run Creek Vineyard of Brownsville produced the state's first Riesling. Also, Cut Hills Vineyard has been working on a Spanish-French crossbreed to try to grow and breeding it with native Nebraska grapes, trying to get it to grow there. He came up with a varietal from that combination called the Temporia. I believe that's how it's pronounced, T-E-M-P-A-R-I-A, Temporia. It's a varietal crossbreeding from a Nebraska native and a French and Spanish and French grapes. The wine industry in Nebraska originally started in the late 19th century, like say 1870s to 1910, by the end of the 19th century, by the end of the production, there were about 5,000 acres of grapes being produced, and most of the vineyards being located in southeastern Nebraska along the Missouri River. The Nebraska wine industry was devastated by Prohibition. At 1910, the wineries were thriving. Prohibition hit in the late 1918, and it stopped Nebraska wine. It literally stopped it. Everything closed down. Nothing survived. A few vineyards went on, but that was it. After the repeal of the prohibition in 1933, the commercial grapes that were still being grown in the state were destroyed by the storm of 1940. It is referred to as the Armistice Day Blizzard. November 11th, Armistice Day, and November 12th, 1940, there was an early season panhandle hook, they call it, in that part of the state. Temperatures that morning, November 11th, started with unseasonably high temperatures in the mid to upper 60s, and it was very, very nice conditions, beautiful day. People went out doing hunting, fishing, all sorts of stuff. And then the temperatures dropped sharply. Winds picked up, and it rained, followed by sleet and snow. And the low-pressure system from the southwest tracked up from the Gulf and from that area, pulling the moisture up from the Gulf of Mexico. And at the same time, a pressure system came down from the Arctic through Canada, and an Arctic cold air mass hit that other system, and it started to snow that afternoon, and it resulted in a blizzard that lasted all the way into the next day. Snow falls up to 27 inches in 2 days, with winds 50 to 80 miles an hour, 20-foot drifts. Temperatures dropped 50 degrees Fahrenheit in a matter of hours, from the mid-60s down to the teens, and it affected Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan. There were 145 deaths attributed to it, and it destroyed the vineyards that were still alive in that part of the country. So everybody lost their grapevines after Prohibition, and the ones that survived the storm of 1940 wiped them out, and so they had to start all over again. And it didn't pick up and didn't start doing well until around 1994. After the Prohibition, first winery started up in 1994, Cut Hills Vineyard. Second one was James Arthur Vineyards. But in 2006, a winery in Nebraska won the best hybrid red in an Eastern competition of all wineries east of the Rockies. And that winery was Soaring Wings. And Dragon's Red was their wine that won that. And this is the person we're going to be talking to in a few minutes here, the owner of that vineyard. Since then, that winery has received numerous gold medals, and it's been doing great with is his winery and all that. So I think he's on standby here. Am I correct on that? I haven't heard my doorbell or anything else. We got a new sound that's supposed to let us know that we have a caller here. I see that Mike's getting a hold of him now, so he'll be, no, maybe not. the phone was just ringing. So we've got Soaring Wing, Soaring Wings Winery, and it is, and I'm going to get onto the website here, so I'm delaying just a couple minutes here myself so I can find their website. And I had it. I had his website on, I was saving it, but he's got a little bird on his website, and this little bird tweets, and I put it down at the bottom of the page so I can pull it up, and the bird tweeting didn't disappear. And so the entire time I had a bird tweeting, and so to keep the bird from tweeting all the time in the background, I had to close his site. And now, for some reason, I'm having a hard time finding it again. Let's go back to this, and we'll...
Are you there?
I'm here. We got him on the line?
Yeah, hold on a second. Okay, I'm bringing him on now. I thought I was going to do the doorbell, but Jim, you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, hello, Jim. My name's Ron. We emailed back and forth to each other. I'm glad to finally talk with you and have you on the program.
Likewise.
We are not going to put you on the spot tonight. I always like to tell my guests that this isn't a trick. Just want you to you are with. I was just talking about Soaring Wings Vineyard and Winery. I was telling that you broke into the spotlight by getting the Red Dragon as the best of the West or best of the East award
yes.
A few years ago.
That's correct. It was named the best American red hybrid in the East, which was a surprise. It's our best-selling wine, but at the same time, it's an off-dry, semi-sweet red, not a dry, serious red that a lot of people would think of would win such a distinction. But it was well loved.
That's amazing. That's really it amazes me that one that's a semi-dry would win. A lot of times, you when you think of reds, that people tend to gravitate toward the very dry ones. So tell us what got you started in winery business.
Well, I started making wine when I was 13. I actually sold it to the kids in the neighborhood and got in trouble for that.
So
I started my commercial winemaking endeavors a long time ago. But I was a pilot and with the Air Force and with a major airline, and I was just looking for something to back up my career with. And since I was a winemaker and for a lot of years on my own, I decided that having a winery might be the way to go.
Fantastic. 13 years old. Shame on you. Soaring Wings, where are you located? Tell us about the winery itself.
Well, Soaring Wings is located on 30 acres of land just south of Omaha in Springfield, Nebraska. So we're just about 10 minutes south of town. We sit on a big high hill overlooking the Platte River Valley. Most people that come out there said they've been to Napa and Sonoma, and our place looks similar to that because of the hills and the river valley. It's very scenic. You can see the sunset over the horizon about 25 miles away. It's a beautiful place to watch sunsets. We have an outdoor venue that we do music events at. In fact, we've got our Blues Festival June 4th that we'll be doing. And every Friday night we have music from May through October. So it's a music venue, outdoor venue, and we make great wine.
The picture of your facility on the front on your website here. Is that on the left of the picture? Is that where you have the outdoor events?
Actually, I think the picture, if you're looking right at the front of the winery, I'm not sure which picture you're looking at.
One with the peak roof.
Yeah, you're actually, that picture is taken from the stage, which is downhill from the winery.
Oh, okay.
So there's actually a stage down there that we put the bands on.
Oh, very nice. How many wineries in Nebraska?
I think there's about 25 at this point in time.
25? Oh. Climate? Tell me about your climate.
Well, it's a continental climate, so it gets cold in the winters. That makes it difficult for us to grow vinifera hybrids like our vinifera grapes like Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay. We do have one vinifera at our winery called Syrah or Shiraz. We have to bury that to make it through the winter. Most of those varieties can't go below about 0 or 5 below 0 at the most. And then they start to die or the buds die, so you don't get a crop off of them. So we use mostly French-American hybrids.
The you said you bury the Syrah. What I mean, literally, dirt on top of it?
Yeah, we used to throw dirt on top of it, but we found that was a little bit difficult. So we're using straw bales. We cut the vines down from the wiring and lay them on the ground and put straw bales to either side to help protect them from the cold.
Wow. It seems labor-intensive.
Well, that is. That's why, you know, most grapes that are grown in our area are not done via that method. Most of the grapes we have in our area are French-American hybrids. And American grapes, particularly Labrusca varieties, you know, Niagara and stuff that a lot of people are familiar with, the grapey grapes, are native to North America and can survive the winters. So there's been breeders that have been taking those cold variety grapes and breeding them with the wine grapes to get a grape variety that, a number of grape varieties that can survive the winter and make good wine.
Oh. We were talking about grapes. What grapes are grown in Nebraska?
Well, our biggest seller in the state is a grape called Edelweiss. And it's a French-American hybrid that makes a semi-sweet to sweet white wine. It's won numerous awards throughout the country. We had a couple of Edelweisses from our state that have made best of show in major wine competitions, which is quite a statement, saying it's the best white wine at the show. We just started making Edelweiss at ourselves at our place, but we've had numerous cold weathers with some of our other white wines, including some La Crosse. Some of our red wines are Chamberson, St. Croix. Most of the varieties aren't going to be familiar to most people in the country, but Vignol, Edelweiss, two white wines should become more and more well known throughout time because they both make extremely exciting and fun sweet whites.
Oh, very nice. Your wines then, what do you make, and tell us about your wine? We already know the Dragon Red and the awards on that one, but your other wines?
Well, we do have some dry wines, of course. We have our Syrah, which is a real nice wine. It's got some medals for us. Our Chamberson is a Pinot-style red, light in color, ruby red, cherry on the nose. Really, really nice, easy-to-drink red wine. Low on tannin, but there is some tannin to support it. On the white side, of course, we do have Edelweiss now. We just started doing that this past fall because we just planted in our vineyard a few years ago. Along with our Vignol, which typically makes a late harvest wine, our La Crosse, which makes a semi-sweet wine we call Winter White, which has won dozens of gold medals for us over the last several years.
I noticed on your website you do a Norton also.
We do as supplies. Got it. We have a nice Norton / Cynthiana, because it kind of goes by both names, in the barrel right now. That's actually pretty nice. Some Nortons can get a little vegetative, and some are just really good. And this is definitely in the really good category.
The Your labels. I love your labels. You have a different bird for every one of them. Is there a story behind that, or is that something that?
There's a little bit of a story. As I stated before, I was an Air Force pilot, an airline pilot, and so my background is flying, and that's where the term for our winery comes from, soaring wings.
Mm-hmm.
When we were first planting the grapes, we had hawks soaring above the hill while we were planting them, so we thought that was a pretty good name. So it comes from my flying background. And since keeping in with that theme, all of our wines have some sort of aviation or avian theme. We have one bottle that has an airplane on it, actually.
Right, I noticed that little red...
Falco. Yeah.
Falco, yeah, there's the Falco Red. There you go, yeah. I lost my question. What background? You have any formal training as a winemaker, or is it just you've learned as do?
I've got some training. Like I said, I started making wine when I was 13, so I did a lot as kind of a home winemaker. I got a biology degree with a chemistry minor and physics minor when I was in college. I worked as an analytical chemist for a year. So I had some pretty good science back there in my background. But when I decided to actually do the winery, I had to do a lot of studying. And I had to study not just how to make wine, but the business end of it. But I took a course from UC Davis on advanced enology or winemaking that helped polish up my technical skills before we actually started making wine.
So you are, and you have been the winemaker. I noticed you stated here that you have family members, daughters and son and brothers and stuff helping you with everything, but you basically control the winemaking there.
That's correct.
What are you using then? Very many oak barrels, or is it mostly stainless steel? And what oak are you using if you use oak?
Yeah, we are using some oak. All of our dry wines, for the most part, are barrel-aged, and we'll age them for about a year in oak, both new oak and some older oak, depending on the style we're trying to do. Most of the wine is semi-sweet to sweet, and those are all sterile, stainless steel. A lot of people talk about the dry wines, but most of them, they talk dry, but they buy sweet. So,
nice.
There's a lot of interest in the country on the dry stuff, a lot of press on it. But, I think 85% of the wine sold in the country is semi-sweet or sweet. So it's a pretty high percentage.
Yeah, I know. I have a winery, and yes, you're right. it's amazing. What oak?
We're using all American oak right now.
From where?
Barrels from Keystone Cooperage, which is in Pennsylvania, northern Appalachian oak or mid-Appalachian. And we've been very, very happy with it so far. I've thought about experimenting with some, using some older barrels and putting some French oak staves in it just for fun to experiment to see what they taste like. But my general feeling is I'm an American winery, a Nebraska winery. I should be using American oak because that's part of my terroir. So,
yes.
I may change my mind on that, but it's been pretty hard to get me off of that for the last 10 years.
Yeah. I understand that. And I'm hearing good things. We've talked to other wineries in the Midwest and all that, and I'm hearing some very good things about Minnesota oak. That's something, you might look into as a suggestion. The people I'm talking to are saying that Minnesota oak is just really great. It's giving some good flavors. It's sealing well and all that stuff. So,
I talked to a supplier of oak barrels and just a few months ago, and he mentioned Minnesota oak to me. It's tighter grained and probably a little bit more like French oak in its presentation, but I haven't tried it yet, so it's still new to me.
Yeah, I haven't tasted any wines made in Minnesota oak, but I'm hearing a lot of good things about it from what we've been talking to different wineries and all that. They're really really high on that Minnesota oak. Also, a couple of wineries are talking about Texas oak. They're saying it's very good too. So I don't know. The state government, good, bad, indifferent. How are they?
Well, I would say that the Liquor Control Commission, which governs us legally, the liquor industry, particularly winemaking in Nebraska, has been fairly supportive. They're trying hard to comply with all the laws and work with the wineries to make sure everybody's in compliance. I actually was the Winery Council Chair for the state of Nebraska for a few years, and we worked with them when they were going through their auditing program. And basically, you know, they said, well, we need this, we need that. And I said, well, you can't get it that way because that's not the right way to get it. But you can get it this way, and we can do it that way. And he says, well, as long as we get to the end, the right product, we're happy with that. And so we worked with them, and they were very, very easy to work with for the most part, as any government agency that oversees you can be easy to work with. You know, it's not all fun, but at the same time, they were trying to be reasonable in most of the ways they approached it.
How about shipping? What's your shipping all like, Preston?
Oh, that's just a nightmare. You know, if you've tried to ship outside the state, the laws change constantly from state to state. You can't hardly keep track of it. And, you know, everybody wants, you know, records in triplicate. If you try to ship to a state, they want you to buy, you know, licenses there, and they give them monthly reports. It's real difficult for a small winery to ship outside the state. It's basically been prohibited by, you know, by regulation. Even if you could ship someplace, you know, you have to buy a $1,000 license and, you know, write out forms every month. It becomes prohibitive on a cost basis for a small winery to do that when they're only shipping maybe a case or two to a state in a year. It's difficult.
And you are saying the same thing that I hear over and over again. Are you familiar with the HR Bill 1161, 1161, the CARE Act?
No, I'm not.
You need to be. and you need to tell as many people as you can. It is basically a legislative act in front of the House of Representatives, federal House, that will throw all the control of everything back to the states. It'll set back the wine industry and the beer industry and the spirits industry by years.
Yeah, no. I'm familiar with that law. I wasn't familiar with the number, but I'm familiar with the bill, yeah.
H.R. 1161, the CARE Act.
That's a disaster. The Distributor Protection Act, right?
Yeah, basically what it is. They don't call it that, but that's really what it is. I always like to let everyone know, if they don't know about that, to familiarize themselves with it. The awards, you've won lots of awards. Tell us, just a quick summary of your awards from different places and all that.
Gosh, I would. It's hard to go into. We've won like a couple hundred medals. So
have you really? Fantastic.
What we've done is we have a rack behind our tasting counter, three deep with bottles about 20 foot across that are just loaded with medals. And I said, I don't see any new bottles up there. And the tasting room staff says, well, it's because there are no new bottles. We can't get anything else up there. All the bottles and the new medals are going in the back room. I go, well, maybe we need to figure out a different way to display them.
yes, definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, competitions are kind of a joy and a bane of a winemaker, you know. I mean, we've had some really good wines that, you know, maybe didn't medal in competition. In one competition, another competition, they get a gold medal, and it's like you have to scratch your head a little bit about that. You know, and take it, you got to take them with a grain of salt in that you're making good wine, and generally speaking, they're getting a lot of medals and stuff like that. But it's the people that come through your door that's most important. The wines they really love and the wines that sell. As a businessman, it's the wines that sell that are the most important.
That's very true. Very true. Your vineyards, I think I read somewhere where you have 11 and a half acres, but then you have another 50 acres, you growers?
Well, we have a total of about 50 acres that are being grown for the winery.
Mm.
Some of those are young acres. They're not producing real well. That includes our 10.5 acres at our 30-acre site. So we have a hard time planting any more acres at our site because we have to have a lot of parking for festivities and events at our winery. We found out that parking takes up a lot of your land.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we have several growers for us with about 40 acres of grapes, and with our 10.5, it makes about 50 acres.
Why are most wineries located where they are in their state, right around you, right around Lincoln and Omaha?
Well,
why?
The population is in eastern Nebraska, so there's a lot more, you know, people that can support it in eastern, especially the eastern sixth of the state from Lincoln to Omaha. The Omaha area has about 1 million people within 50 miles of it.
Wow.
So I got 1 million people to draw on, which can support me. It can support a couple of other wineries, too. Once you get farther west in the state, the driving distance get greater and greater, and it's harder to make them work unless you're going to be just kind of the small-town winery that you're just, you know, producing maybe about 1,500 gallons a year, maybe 9,000, you know, 7,500 bottles, somewhere around those range.
So, that makes sense then, because of the location and everything. Do they still have the horse track up there in Omaha?
Well, they don't have one. They do have a horse track up there, but it's, I think it's called Horseman's Park, but I'm not a horse fan, so I'm not sure. Exarban, the old grand one, has been torn down. It was torn down.
Oh, has it?
15 years ago or so. Yeah.
Wow. I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, and I never went up, but a bunch of my friends used to go up to the horse track in Omaha like once a month, just for kicks. And
right.
I that's why I was curious if it was still there. I didn't know.
Well, they still have a racetrack there. I think it's, like I said, I think it's called Horseman's Park, but I'm not sure.
Mike, do you have any questions you want to ask Jim?
Yeah, I was just thinking of, do you have wine trails up there that...
We sure do. Matter of fact, we're a founding member of the Southeast Nebraska Wine Trail, and I think we're the first operational wine trail in the state, I believe. I'm not sure. But we are very active in the southeastern section of the state, and that's where the greatest concentration of wineries are in the state of Nebraska.
Excellent. Okay, I was just wondering, because we talked to a few states, and some of them never heard of it before, and then you have some that are, it goes through the visitors, convention bureaus, all that, and they provide maps at the welcome centers. I didn't know how, if you had them there and how involved it was. So, just curious.
It is, but we're about a year and a little over, maybe a year and a half old, so we're still growing and trying to find all the different activities we want to do. We do a wine and food pairing. We got a tasting and food event in Lincoln, Nebraska here. I think it's the 10th of June. And, in July we have our wine and food pairing, which is kind of a go to all the wineries, try a unique food at each winery paired with whatever wine that they want to serve with it. And you get a souvenir wine glass with that, and you get to do the whole trail. It's kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead.
No, I just I noticed while I was looking up information, too, that there is a balloon and wine tasting event in August. Is that anywhere near you?
Yeah, it's in western Omaha, and we were a founding member of that, us and James Arthur Vineyard. It was Nebraska Wine and Balloon Festival, I think was what the original term was, on it, and it's the Nebraska wineries. Some Nebraska breweries actually are show up there too, along with a balloon festival and music.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. We actually got the oldest wine and balloon thing in the state is really at our place at our Blues Festival, which takes place June 4th. So we have balloons there that'll do a launch, wind permitting. We've only been able to launch them once out of like 5 or 6 years because, you know, if the winds are blowing over 10 miles an hour, they can't launch the balloons. We got them off about a year ago. It was cool.
Yeah, you need to maybe move the date to less windy time of
year. Yeah, I know, but I like it. I like the Blues Festival in June.
Balloons are hard to stop, that's for sure. Balloons are hard to stop unless you have trees around to run into or to rub against.
They stop them really good when they hit the trees.
Yes, they do. I took one a few years ago, and when the guy says brace yourself, I was like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. We hit the brakes on some very tall cypress trees, so it was a lot of fun. Very different. I saw the balloons in your photo gallery, which looks really, really nice up there. I know we normally cover the bud break for the different areas. When is your bud break?
It's already occurred for most of our varieties. Usually, you know, it's a little bit dangerous for us because summer varieties are early bud break. The Edelweiss is a perfect example. It likes to bud early, and the harvest is early August for it. So we have to keep our fingers crossed that we don't get caught by a late frost up there in our area after the buds have already broken. But we're past late frost, which is May 12th in our area, and so we're safe from now on. We have a couple of varieties that are just the buds have swollen, but they haven't all broken yet. Several of the varieties are already anywhere from 1 inch to 4 inches in length on the shoots.
Wow. Well, you've been getting some cool weather, I noticed, up there the last couple of weeks.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And, you know, that's okay till we get to that past that May 12th, but then we really want it to warm up. Last summer was very rainy and cool until August, which was basically about the worst you could do because you really want to have some heat in July to really get the crop matured, and you don't want so much water that the grapes are so big that all the flavors are diluted. Last year for us, right where we were at, in the very eastern part near Omaha, we had a lot of rain all summer long. So we had some record tonnage, but, you know, the quality was not quite as good as I would have liked on some of the varieties, whereas, you know, there are a couple of the varieties came in great. So it's just typical vintage differences that we have for the different varieties. One vintage is down, another vintage is usually up.
Yeah, that, you know, when you have a variety of grapes, that's usually the way it works too. So that's
doesn't
vary too much. Mike, something else?
No, I'm looking at the listing of events and still looking at the photo gallery. It's very nice. It's a lot going on up there.
Definitely. Yeah, it is. It's Jim, I'm going to let you tell us email address and location and phone numbers and everything in case anybody wants to get in touch with you or in case anybody wants to come and visit you or in case anybody's in the area. We get listeners from all over, and so give us all of your information and anything that you feel is pertinent so someone could come and visit Soaring Wings Vineyard.
I'd love to. Number one, our website has got a lot of information on it, and that's SoaringWingsWine.com. That's Soaring Wings, plural, with an S, wine.com. If you Google Soaring, we're going to be near, and put wine in there any place, we'll be at the top of your list. So you go there, you can get most of the information. Our email address is just info@SoaringWingsWine.com, and you can contact us from the website. There's a contact page there. And all the different activities from our Friday night music that runs from April all the way through October, and our Acoustic Sundays, which is free music on Sunday afternoons, which runs year-round, indoors if it's snowy, outdoors if it's beautiful. In addition to other festivals and events like our Harvest Festival towards the end of September, we've got different events like with our Southeast Nebraska Wine Trail, food and wine pairings. We have Meet Your Winemaker dinners, different other jazz events. We have three or four different smooth jazz nights on a Saturday night. We do weddings and stuff like that, too. It's an absolutely gorgeous venue. The views are just absolutely amazing. People think that Nebraska doesn't have any terrain, but we do. You know, it's not the Colorado Rockies, but it's gorgeous. And if you see a sunset out here, you're just going to – it's a little bit of heaven here on earth to watch a sunset from Soaring Wings. And our telephone number at the winery is 402 253-2479, and that's listed on our website also.
And so tell me, Jim, are you a Cornhusker fan?
Yeah, I must say I am. I'm a Go Big Red guy. I graduated from what we call the Little Red, University of Nebraska in Omaha, but I'm still a Big Red fan.
Yeah, I think everyone in the state of Nebraska is. If they're not, they'll get ran out on a rail. So
yeah, well, actually, we have some transplants that aren't quite all Nebraska fans, but most of the people are, and it's a kind of a neat thing. Not many states have it where everybody pulls for one football team.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, Nebraska is, you know, Cornhusker football. So, you know, that's like
Cornhusker football, great steaks and great wine.
Yeah, there you go. Mike, anything else?
I'm looking at the club membership now. I'm just looking through some of the other features. Yeah, I think everyone out there should definitely visit your website and check out the different links and everything. And you have a bird whistling on the screen.
He's only supposed to do it twice.
Okay. I thought it was the sound effects board going nuts, but I heard this bird, and I was like, okay, where's that coming from? But yeah, it's cute, sitting up there in the corner. I'm just looking at it. The photos and everything are incredible, and the deal you get with the club membership is also really good too. So
yeah,
get all that information.
Club membership. It's not one of those ones where we, you know, make you buy a case of wine every month. It's one of those. It's more of a prestige membership. You join it, you get to come to all these things. It's at a reduced price, and if you come to the winery a lot, and it pays for itself 10 times over. We have a Christmas party that I throw for our employees that my wife and I prepare, and our Bacchus Club members. And it's probably worth about $150, $200 per person. And that's just for the Christmas dinner alone. So
wow.
We get out the library. We bring out our 2003 through 2010 or 11, in this kind of case, be 11 vintage, and let people try whatever they want out of the library, the stuff that's been discontinued for several years. So it's quite a deal.
Very good. Very good.
We may have to fly out there for that.
That'd be great.
When we go on the road.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, very nice. I think that's pretty good on this end. Unless you have anything else, Ron.
No, it's funny you said the bird. While you were hooking up and calling Jim, you were off the air, and I was trying to find his website, and I mentioned to the listeners that I had his website down at the bottom of the page, but mm-hmm. the bird would not shut up. I had to turn it off. So, that's all we could hear was the bird. Well, Jim, thank you very much. Really appreciate you joining us tonight. It was great information about Nebraska and also Soaring Wings Winery. And it was really a pleasure, and hopefully we will get a chance to make it up there. And also, any of our listeners, be sure to stop by and visit them.
All right,
definitely.
That'd be great. You come up,
yeah.
We'll treat you.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, we're back.
That was nice.
Yeah.
You know, a beautiful winery. You've been looking at the website, so have I. Soaring Wings, SOARINGWINGSWINE, Soaring Wings Wine. And it really is a very nice website, a lot of information on there, and tells all about his wines. He just mentioned a few of the wines. He has quite a few more that he didn't tell you about. And these are the ones that are grown in Nebraska. The Syrah, like he was telling us about, but a La Crosse also he has, Chambortian. Deschonec, a Norton, or Cynthiana, a Soaring Eagle is a name. It's a Nebraska red wine. It's a variety of Nebraska red grapes aged in American oak. He has what he calls a Red Phoenix, which is a lightly oaked red wine, a softer Pinot Noir style, he states on his site. Blushing Hawk is made with Marechal Foch grapes, lighter style. Traminette, It's Gewurz, mild Gewurz, Traminette's Gewurztraminer parentage, so it's a milder form actually of a Gewurz. The semi-white wines, he has a winter white, which is made with the La Crosse grapes, a stainless steel. I've had La Crosse grapes before. Nice. It's similar to a Riesling, Pinot Grigio, that style of a grape. Dragon's Head is his award winner. He 2007 vintage of the best red hybrid of the Eastern United States. He won all sorts of awards for that, including best. He says serve it with pizza, hamburgers, barbecue, hot wings, Mexican, Asian, and Italian cuisine. So very versatile wine there. Mystic Red, another light red wine made with Syrah grapes. A softer style red wine, semi-sweet, he's calling it here. Falco, that's one with the plane on it. This is Jim built a Falco plane back in the early 80s, and the wine named after that. It's a fruit-forward, sweet blended red style, a little bit sweeter than what you would expect in red. He also has what he calls an ice Falcon, which is a blend of the Vignole, Chardonnay, and La Crosse, comparable to an Edelweiss, he says, only even better, something like a Riesling. His sweet wines include a blend of Nebraska white grapes called Moonstruck, a sweeter style wine. He also has a Vignole, which is a white grape of great with the dessert type wine. It's also a multi-winner, double gold winner, best of class, and best varietal, gold, silver, and bronze medals for that. And then the Edelweiss, which is becoming a very very popular grape in the Midwest. If you listen to other programs, you've heard us heard different wineries mention the Edelweiss all the time. A very cold, hardy grape, wine that holds up real well in the cold and also makes that sweet wine, a German style, German white wine. So a very nice variety of wines that he has there and all that. And certain states he can ship to. You can always check the website and they'll tell you what you can ship to, or you can give them a call and see what what's available for shipping. So, Nebraska, some wineries do fruit wines. There is a variety of fruit wines that are done in Nebraska. A lot of the wineries are using the wines that are the grapes that we mentioned there, the list of excuse me, the list of ones that I told you earlier. These are being grown throughout the state of Nebraska, and these are really popular grapes in the Midwest and in the colder climates. The state of Nebraska, the wineries throughout Nebraska, the cluster of them, again, around the populated areas. There are a couple of wineries located in the far western edge of Nebraska, right close to Wyoming. One of those is Prairie Vine Vineyards and Winery, located in Mitchell over in the western part of the state. And there's also Last Chance Winery located in the northwestern part of the state. These are higher elevations and stuff. Never got hold of them, so I don't know what they're doing in the elevations, if they're getting their grapes shipped in or what. Another person that's supposed to that we were hoping to be able to talk to us tonight. Oops, this is the wrong one. This is the one I want.
Wonderosa or something?
Wonderosa, yes. Wonderosa Winery. She was going to contact us tonight, Linda, from Wonderosa Winery. But she had an event come up, to let you know a little bit about Wonderosa Winery. Open on weekends. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. She had a special event that she had booked tonight, so she wasn't able to get in with us. The wines that they have are a white Bocelli made with Frontenac Gris grapes. They do a red with Frontenac and St. Croix, a little bit of oak in it, a what they call a Marquette 2009 vintage, made with the Marquette grapes. I'm not familiar with the Marquette grapes. This is a newly released grape hybrid grown in the Midwest and in cooler climates. Oh, interesting. I'm sorry that she wasn't able to. We may have her contact her next week because interesting information here on some of these, like the Marquette grape. I am curious about that and the different grapes that she's using there. I think they're located close to Kearney, which is a little bit more west of the population area that Jim just told us about. And so if that is the case, then it give us another perspective on the wines grown in Nebraska and in the area there. Let me see. It says contact. Let me look at the contact us and see if they have a map. And, yeah, they do, but it's just a little teeny map that doesn't expand. Okay, so, but we may contact her next week. Just have her tell us about some of these grapes and let's see, the corner of Whitstruck Road and South 25th in Roca, Nebraska, wherever the heck that is. I don't know. See, if you traveled, Roca, R-O-C-A. If you had traveled up there, then you could have told me where that was.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's just south of Lincoln. Okay, there we go.
All right.
So it's still in the eastern part of the state, south of Lincoln. But it's interesting. So we may contact her next week and see what's going on. But Nebraska, part one. We'll do a little bit more Nebraska next week and talk to Linda from Wonderosa Winery and have her tell us about what's going on there and what's happening there. And then I think New Hampshire follows Nebraska. Is that not correct?
I could be.
Yeah, I think New Hampshire is our next one. So we get to travel up to the Northeast next week. And
very nice country, too.
Yeah, gorgeous country. We've been around there. Oh, wait a minute now. There it is. Okay, I clicked on New Hampshire, and I'm seeing the name Vermont, and I'm going, whoa. But we've done Maine, New Hampshire, just south of it there. Beautiful country. It is just gorgeous country up there.
Yep.
So New Hampshire next week.
Good. Well, you have something coming up this Saturday, I believe, right?
A class.
May 21st, you have a wine class. So anyone visiting this area, or if you're already living in this area, definitely stop by the winery between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. That is at Florida State's Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land Lakes, Florida. It's real easy to get to off of 75. You go 4 miles west on State Road 52. That's exit 285. Go about 4 miles west, and you'll see the signs. You'll have to turn north for a little ways. I mean, it's just like a block or two, from there. But real easy to get to at Florida State's Winery. This Saturday, it's a wine class, not the fest, wine class, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and you'll hear a great presentation and learn all about the history of wines, the different grape varietals, grape diseases, and wine glass styles and uses. You'll also hear about cork history, the evolution and uses of the corks, oak aging, the wine tasting process, and scoring and rating wines. And you'll also get to sample some of the world-class wines from Florida State's Winery, which is open daily, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., but wine class this weekend, Saturday, May 21st, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. I don't see anybody on the phone lines. We have about 50 seconds left. Give them a call at area code 813-996-2113. That's Florida State's Winery, 813-996-2113. You can RSVP for the wine class this weekend, or just call them and let them know that you heard about the winery. You heard Ron on the radio. There you go. Blog Talk Radio on the show. And I know you guys would love to hear that there. And let's see, or visit the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com, FloridaEstatesWines.com. And if you'd like to email about the show, we'd love to hear from you. Ron picks up those emails at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And we have 7 seconds. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. And
yes,
Ron,
thank you, everyone.
It was very good and great to hear. Oh, okay, a little bit too rowdy. So
close the window.
Yeah. Hit the stop button. There you go. There you go. That's better.
There you go.
So thanks everybody on Blog Talk Radio and downloading us from iTunes. We love the stats and to know that you're listening and downloading the program. You can listen to it just about anywhere using those methods. And every once in a while, I download them to my phone, and I can listen to them in the car, plugged in the stereo, that kind of stuff. So it's another good way to listen to it. And for listening live, which I guess we're off right now, live.
But, yeah, I think we are. Yeah.
You're in the extended version of the show.
Yeah,
thank you all for listening. And yeah, we'll see you all next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio /AllAboutWine. That is the direct link to the show. And you can also search for us on iTunes. It's on iTunes and wherever else I think we're listed on. But thank you, Ron. Thank you, as always. And
thank you
to everybody listening. And we'll see you all next weekend right here at 7 p.m. Thank you. Good night. Or week.
And we're done.